The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Grade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it, tune it, print it, scan it, send it, fax, rename it, touch it, ring it, pay it, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop, format it, technologic. Technologic.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And I let the opening music go a little bit longer to kind of give you a feel for what we're going for today.
Yes. We had a tough week. This was a tough week of movie watching.
It almost goes against the premise of the show, because the premise of the show is we're behind on shows or TV shows or movies that we like. And now we're so excited we want to talk about it. But today we went through and we decided, oh, we'll do a theme. And then so we watched movies to go with that theme. And we did not like.
So I want to preface this with two of these four movies that we watched. I watched in my childhood and have fond memories of.
Okay.
And you were behind because you had never seen them.
Correct.
Now, going back and watching them as an adult, I had a different experience than when I was a child.
And although, it's not your fault, because that was the whole point. So, our theme today...
Yes.
Our theme today is old technology.
Old technology.
So, it's movies that were technologically advanced and about technological stuff...
At the time,
and have not aged well.
No. If you want to guarantee your movie will fall into obscurity, make it about technology.
Current technology.
Yeah, current
time,
technology.
Yeah.
Or slightly, I think slightly advanced is okay to be bad.
And then it will slip into obscurity too.
Yeah. Just don't make your movie about computers and you'll have a better chance at longevity.
Yeah, you know, but there's some that don't necessarily fall into that trap. Like, even though the technology in them kind of obviously aged, it doesn't ruin the movie like the original Mission Impossible, the Tom
Cruise.
Like, he's sending email and it's very email-like, but, like, it's not the focus of the movie. Like,
right.
It's not the point.
Right.
The point isn't about the tech. It is about gadgets, but it's like, so far-fetched gadgets. It's not about the actual tech.
Right. And these movies are trying to base themselves in reality, or at least somewhat. One is a little more outlandish on purpose. But what I found interesting is that, so two of our movies were from the 80s, and two of our movies were from the 90s, specifically 95. They both came out the same year.
Right.
And so it's interesting to see how each decade dealt with it.
The oldest of the movies was actually the best of the movies.
Yeah, and even it wasn't great.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So we're going to talk about them in the order we watched them.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to start with 1995's The Net.
The Net, a movie starring Sandra Bullock.
Yes, a young Sandra Bullock, a very adorable Sandra Bullock.
She's kind of seems like an agoraphobic.
Yes. So she's a computer analyst who lives in San Francisco.
No,
she's in L.A. And she works for a company based in San Francisco.
Correct.
And it's called Cathedral. So it's like a systems specialty program. So it's,
right.
I think it's kind of like a McAfee or maybe a Microsoft, somewhere in between those two companies. And she works remotely from her home in L.A., and she doesn't really leave the house much. So she doesn't really interact with her neighbors. She orders pizza to be delivered to her on her computer, so she's very, you know.
Now, we're not talking like really cool Domino's on your app, like, oh, yeah, I'm throwing stuff on there. This is very Windows 95, because it came out, this is very Windows 95 click. It looks like every homepage for every homestead page you got to do for free back in 95. Like, it is like, she's literally putting X marks on things, and it's like, phew, 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 and it's like digitized changing, so like all of a sudden the pizza toppings will like show up on it, but very digitized.
Yeah, and so and her mom has Alzheimer's and is in a home and doesn't recognize her when she goes to visit her. So she lives a very solitary life. And her specialty is viruses. So companies will send her their program. Like the beginning of the movie, she's playing a video game that crashes every time you get to a certain point because of this virus. So what she does is she takes the virus out and then gives them back the game. And then she has a buddy who collects viruses. And anyway, she gets this one particular virus that is basically a backdoor into systems, into like the naval medical center and like really heavy hitting stuff.
If anything I've learned from all of these movies, which we'll get into, is that the government wants to make sure it is the most secure, technologically sound branch of anything, and yet it is always the least.
Yeah. Well, the real government's a little more secure than the government in these movies. But anyway, so she finds herself, you know, finding this virus, doesn't really think of it, goes on vacation. The people who put the virus in there find out who she is, and then it's an action-adventure from there.
I feel like it's also a morality story because she sleeps with a guy that she meets on vacation, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a purity kind of hidden moral.
He's working for the bad guys, and so as soon as they have their fun together, he turns on her and tries to kill her, but she escapes because, of course, she does because she's Sandra Bullock. But the movie does not hold up.
No. Because then they use the internet to ruin her life by getting, like, changing her name.
They change her, yeah, they associate her social security number and her fingerprints to a different name that has a criminal record. And so she lost her pass. So she went on vacation in, I don't remember where she was, Mexico somewhere.
I think, yeah, Cancun.
And so her purse is stolen by the guy she is fighting. And so she doesn't have her passport, so that in order to get back into the U.S., she has to sign a false name on the visa, and so by the time she gets back to her house, they're already emptied out, and they're selling it, and she's saying, but I'm this person, and they're saying, well, you don't have any proof that you're this person, and so she has to fight to get her identity back.
Yeah.
And they'll stop at nothing, and one of the only people she does know... Wow, she's got a really shady background herself, because one of the only people who knows who she is her ex-therapist, and he is her ex-therapist because they had an affair.
Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller, sorry. Yeah. Dennis Miller.
Who has to die, so yeah. they mix up his meds at the hospital, and so, yeah, it's just weird. But you know what's funny about this movie is I'm looking at the IMDb page, and it has 2 award wins and 1 nomination.
Bean.
But the wins are very funny. So the Jupiter Awards, I don't even know what that is. Sandra Bullock won. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is just Sandra Bullock.
Live radio, darling. Live radio.
Sorry. Because what's funny is it says that she's the winner for Best International Actress, Sandra Bullock for A Time to Kill.
Okay.
And then the Yoga Awards, she was the winner for Worst Foreign Actress. For While You Were Sleeping.
How is that net trivia?
I don't know. It's on here. I think it's just because it's hers, but okay. It's under the net awards. So, wow, even IMDb doesn't want anything to do with this movie.
Well, and it's so blatantly, like, it's such, I don't want to go with, I'll just use the word kind of propaganda, mm-hmm. in that the internet is bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first internet is bad, because nobody understood what it could actually do.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought that it was just going to be, like, the world's worst thing. Like, as soon as you touch the internet, your life would be over.
Oh, I remember watching this when I was younger and thinking, this is really scary. Is this, can this happen? Can they do that? Is this possible?
It's like digital herpes. They just thought, if you or someone you know is using the internet, you also have used the internet, and now your life isn't going to end.
Yeah.
Super catchy.
Right? So, yeah, the climax of the movie is...
Let me just tell you, everything in these movies is super cool because they're passing floppy disks back and forth.
Oh, yeah, total. Yeah, absolute, like, legit 3x5.
Like, if we were to play these movies on TV now, like, the floppy industry would just go nuts. They're like, guys, they're still showing things that have to do with floppy.
and all the young kids are going to be like, what's the square? I don't understand what that is.
Yeah, it's the save button.
So what? They have an actual save button? That's cool.
this is an actual holding your hand. What is that called when you, like...
Tangible.
Yeah, it's a tangible save icon. Look at this.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Anyway, so the climax of this movie takes place at the Moscone Center in San Francisco at a trade show.
Which is kind of like E3. It's like before E3 was E3.
Right. So she has to go to this because she has to be hooked up to the mainframe so that she can upload the virus to... Because this also has an element of political thriller. Because the movie actually opens with
a senator or something?
A senator who commits suicide. And later on you find out that he does that because he was diagnosed with AIDS.
Over the internet.
Over the internet.
This is what happens when you use WebMD to diagnose yourself.
Yeah, because he gets a call... And it says, and he's talking to the person on the phone, and he says, are you sure? Well, is there any chance that this is wrong? Is there any human error? Oh, I guess that rules that out. So that's by telling you, oh, well, it's not human error because the computer told us so. The computer said that you have AIDS. And so he commits suicide, and later on they discover, well, that's not true because, that it was hacked and it gave a false positive. Because the people who made the virus are actually the CEO of the McAfee-type company. Actual, not the cathedral that she works for, but the company that's selling all this security. And so they keep telling her that all this information has to be correct because we have virus blocker, which is actually the virus itself. And so the reason they killed the senator is because he was against it and he didn't want the government to use it.
Anyway, look at everything about this movie is just terrible.
It really is.
And even, I'm going to say that even in 95, it wasn't good.
I plead that I was young and naive and didn't know any better.
No, I'm just meaning like looking at the technology we have now, and I know that what the technology was back then. And I remember, like, if I wanted to save an MP3 back in 1999, it took me... like an hour and a half to download, a 3-minute song because it literally was that bad.
Mm.
But it still feels like the technology jargon that they're using and the way they're going about things. Like some of the stuff she was doing was coding, and that's fine. I don't know that. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know coding. So that part could be real. But like the stuff of like how it affects everything. And even now, like there's certain things like the changing of her identity and stuff in the police computer. Seems like it would take longer than it did. Like, he was literally typing it and it was appearing as he was typing it.
Yeah, it showed the cop in the car looking up his computer information as the bad guy in the other car was typing it out. It was coming up on the cop's screen.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think cell phones in 95... were even that powerful to start sending information like that.
Yeah, and he wasn't... And when she's in Mexico, she's sitting on the beach with her laptop.
Uh-huh.
Did beaches have Wi-Fi in 95? Like, what are they doing?
No, but I'm pretty sure what you do is you would start working on your laptop and save it, and then you would dock it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this didn't look like what she was doing. You have a laptop right now. We both have laptops in front of us right now.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be hooked up to the internet to do certain things. Like, what was she doing? We didn't see what she was doing. She could have been working on her taxes, like, on an Excel document, for all we know.
Maybe.
And then it would have saved. I mean, it's still a computer. So I'm going to at least let it go there, but yeah.
Fine. Well, another problem is that when she's at the Moscone Center and she needs to hook up to the mainframe, uh-huh. which is that's all the information you get is just the mainframe. She puts in this virus and it starts killing the computers in a very colorful way.
Not only is it colorful, it literally starts melting the pictures. So it's like even now, like stuff didn't melt on screen when you were destroying the file,
right?
it was literally like warping and disintegrating mm-hmm. on the screen. They're like, the mainframe is melting. And they're, no,
I don't think that's how that works.
You didn't do your research. You're just playing fear tactics with the internet right now for your movie.
Yeah. So did not hold up.
So should we take a break here and then come back for some of our other ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the net, not so much.
Sorry, Sandra, but
it's just like I said, scare tactics where the internet's all around you and everyone's trying to like spy on you and can change your life and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was just not good. I did not like. And fair warning, it doesn't get much better as we come back. But come back. We have commercials, we have more shows, and you can just hear us bag on bad movies.
That's right.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
We've been talking about tech.
Old tech.
Yes. Now, the first movie that we just mentioned before the break was The Net. And that one is the only one that doesn't have a link to any of the other ones that are on the list.
Right.
That one kind of stands alone.
Yeah.
But there's a link to other movies.
Yeah, the next...
Picking back on themselves.
Yeah, the next three daisy chains.
Yeah.
Very nicely.
Ooh, that's a new word I've never heard before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, when you plug in different, extension cords together, that's daisy chaining them.
So it's extension cord. So tech. I mean,
yeah,
tech.
Yeah.
So it's a good word. Yeah. Ooh. Daisy Jane.
All right. So the next movie we watched was 1983's War Games.
Yes.
So
this is the one that we're talking about that it wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad.
Just a little boring.
So I was only somewhat aware of this movie. You know, I had heard about it, but I had actually never seen it. And but what piqued my interest in it was Ready Player One, and which we've talked about before, the book and the movie that came out last year, right? Uh-huh. Last year is when the movie came out. And in that, it's a futuristic world where everybody's obsessed with the 80s to win this prize. Anyway, one of the challenges in the book is that they have this game where you actually go into a movie and you become one of the characters, and you have to deliver all of the dialogue and do all of the actions for this movie, and you gain points by doing it correctly, you lose points by messing up. And the movie that they did this with was War Games. And so reading just the dialogue that they included in the novel, I was like, oh, this seems interesting. We should watch this. And then just randomly a couple weeks ago on TV, it was on, and we watched the end of it. We're like, oh, we should watch this for our show. So we watched it for our show.
Yeah.
So War Games is young Matthew Broderick, very young, very adorable, and he is a hacker who finds a backdoor into the military central computer, which thinks it's playing a game that could possibly start World War III, basically. Yeah. And so he, unbeknownst to him, he hacks into the system. He thinks he's playing just a simulation game and doesn't realize that he's taken over the actual computer and that he could actually start nuking the world.
Well, and he uses that really cool. I mean, he uses the telephone.
Right.
It's a modem that's not even a modem. It's literally he dials and then puts the phone on this box that it talks to.
Mm-hmm. So as we said before, we are not computer scientists. We are not hackers. I can use my Windows fairly decently. But this movie feels at least somewhat legitimate. Like, I think they did a really good job researching it. They at least sound like they know what they're talking about. Whereas with The Net, there's definitely parts where you're like, yeah, that's not how that works, and that's just ridiculous. This movie didn't feel that way. And even though it's older, it felt better. It felt better about its computer technology. And I mean, he's hacking into the school records and changing his grades because he's kind of a slacker in class. And so he hacks into the school system to change his grades. And then he's randomly dialing, not having the computer randomly dial numbers to hack into different things. But it all seems pretty legit.
No, it does. That's the one that feels, and like I said, even though it's older, it actually feels the most real, mm-hmm. like even today.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting about it is that it actually has real world application. It actually did impact a lot of our rules and regulations regarding computers. So one of the things on here, it says that this movie inspired Congress to create and update the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 1984. Representative Dan Glickman opened the proceedings by saying, we're going to show about 4 minutes from the movie War Games, which outlines the problems fairly clearly. A House committee report solemnly intoned, War Games showed a realistic representation of the automatic dialing and access capabilities of the personal computer. And it's even been reported that it significantly affected Ronald Reagan's understanding of and policy on telecommunication and computer system security, to where he saw the movie and then started asking his Joint Chiefs of Staff, is this possible? Can they do this? How do we fix it? Is this
art,
real?
Art influences life.
Yeah. And so it really did. It really, really did.
So I know, like it was mentioned, War Games was in the book Ready Player One, not the movie.
Mm.
But I know it from another form of media. It's referenced in. Perhaps you remember this.
I was 16 and was in a baseball dugout.
Fast times at Ridgemont High.
I mean, I was in a subway with a high-priced call girl.
Risky business.
I was accidentally hacking into NORAD's computer.
That's War Games, and there's not even a sex scene in it.
All right!
That is, for those who don't know, that's from How I Met Your Mother, and that is the story of Barney's first time.
Right.
And he's so trying to do it. Yeah, he keeps using movie references to do it. That's why Ted's like, that's War Games. There's not even a sex scene in the movie.
And there's not.
There's not.
I want to make this very clear that there is not. I mean, he has his I mean, it's not even really a girlfriend. Ally Sheedy is in this movie.
Daisy Chain Link number one.
Yes, so we'll come back to her. So she's the girl in this movie, but yeah. They're not
Which
really.
She looks super young in this.
Yeah,
because they're in high school.
Right.
2 years later, it looks completely different in The Breakfast Club.
Right.
And then. Wait, 1 year after that, she looks way, way different and a lot older a year later.
A year later, yeah.
In the next movie that we're talking about. But I'll get into that in a second. Is there anything more that we need to say about War Games?
I think it was a really good movie. And like you said, there were times where it got a little boring, but it was sound. And at the end, so Matthew Broderick is brought to NORAD because they're thinking that he's hacking and working with some foreign country to invade. And he's like, no, no one is actually invading us. This is just a simulation. But the computer could at this point, they said it's just a simulation. You don't have to worry. But all of the military people are thinking, oh my gosh, these nukes are incoming. What are we going to do? So they get on the phone with their counterparts all over
their bases,
the country,
yeah.
Their bases. And it gets to the end of the game where on their screens in the main war room control room, the missiles are hitting. And so they say, you know, do you copy? Are you there? And it takes a couple seconds because, you know, you have to build dramatic pause. And then they say, yeah, we're here. And so they're all excited because it's just a simulation. But then the computer itself now thinks that it needs to retaliate, and it's actually going to launch the nukes.
Yeah.
Unless they can stop it, but they can't figure out how to stop it because the computer thinks it's playing the game.
Right.
And so what's really cool is that Matthew Broderick starts playing tic-tac-toe against it. And someone said, you can't win tic-tac-toe. And he said, that's the point. And so he gets it to where the computer is playing itself in tic-tac-toe, and it plays it so much and it rapidly and it goes faster and faster and faster, and then realizes they can't win. And it had to learn that there's no winner when it comes to nuclear war.
Right.
And so it goes through all these simulations. Oh, if the U.S. strikes first. Oh, if China strikes first, or if Russia strikes first. And it goes through all these simulations that keep going faster and faster and faster and faster. And then finally at the end it says the only way to win the game is not to play.
Yeah.
And it shuts it down.
Would you like to play chess?
Yeah, how about a nice game of chess? So it was it's a movie I would recommend people seeing.
Yeah.
Like it had its slow parts, but it was still pretty good and it holds up relatively well.
Yeah, it does. And it's solid.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's one that you can enjoy watching. It's just like I said, it just sitting there going, okay, no. It's just a little boring.
A little long. But anyway,
and looking at all, because the computer itself is huge,
mm-hmm.
and then all the other computers that it's linked to are super huge.
Mm-hmm.
And right now all the computing power would probably fit onto a laptop.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I like about this movie. This movie seemed to take a more realistic look at technology. So, like, with the net, it seemed like they were pushing it. They were stretching it. They were doing things that probably aren't really capable. Whereas this movie, I think the reason it still holds up relatively well, even though it's all very old technology, it still makes sense because it was still legitimate technology of the time.
Yeah.
Daisy Chain.
Well, Daisy Chain. Well, actually, we'll take a break quicker this time.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll leave ourselves with a lot of space on the end of the show to
for our last two movies.
Yeah, and we'll probably like start talking about other things too.
Yeah.
But we'll take one more break and then we will come back and start linking the Daisy Chains together. But remember, Ally Sheedy was the first one, so what could the other one be? So keep that in mind, and we'll have a hint when we come back. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Mm-hmm. No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Girvan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
We've talked about the net. We've talked about war games. We gave you the hint that it's Ally Sheedy is the first daisy chain link. I'm using your words a lot now.
That's okay.
And here's your hint for what we're doing now. You recognize the song?
I do.
I know you do. Does people listening recognize it?
I don't know.
I hope so. This is the unofficial theme song to Short Circuit.
That's right.
Johnny Five. Johnny Five as Alive. Who is Johnny?
He named himself after the song.
Which, by the way, this
Who
song...
Johnny.
This song is the only real good thing from that movie. I'm sorry.
And they played it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they played it a couple of times in the movie. And then at the very end, he decides that his name is Johnny because he likes this song.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So.
All right. Let's break into this, shall we?
All right. So this movie came out in 1986. So it was 3 years after War Games.
Right. And this one is Ally Sheedy.
Ally Sheedy looks a lot. So in 83, she was a teenager, and she looked like a teenager. And now in 86, she's like a woman in her mid-30s.
Right? I think it's the haircut.
It's a combination of the haircut and the clothes she was wearing.
Okay.
Like, she was wearing, I don't know, just kind of matronly, like, baggy, like, shapeless.
There's a big difference between 85 and 86. Like I said, 16 Candle, or not 16 Candle, Breakfast Club in this.
Yeah.
Like, huge difference.
Yeah. So... Anyway, so this I saw this movie very, very young. I mean, this movie came out when we were 4 years old.
Right.
And I have no idea when the first time I saw it was, but it was very, it was when I was very young because I liked the talking robot. He was awesome. So now watching it,
it's painful.
I've actually warned my friend, do not go back and rewatch this, because I told him that we had watched this movie and that you didn't care for it. He's like, really? I really liked that movie. I said, I did too. Don't watch it again.
Yeah.
I said, don't show it to your kids, nope. Or if you do, leave the room. Just don't destroy those memories.
So the government...
Because of the government.
Because the government is developing these robots, numbers... I don't even think they have names, but they're like numbers 1 through 5.
Right.
Number 5 gets hit by lightning and somehow gets sentient.
Yes.
And he learns an input, needs input, and blah, blah, blah. And he's got this very nerdy voice. And he's built by Steve Guttenberg, who is there just to create science.
To create science.
That's pretty much it. And but he has to go to the party, and they're like, you need to be out there to tell these people and be there to be the face because you built these robots. And he's like, I hate everything type of thing.
Yeah, so this party...
We both agreed. We're like, why are they forcing him to go to this party when he's like, I hate all of this, and I think it's a bad idea. And...
Well, so what it is so the military is showing off their new toys, mm-hmm. and they're showing it to potential investors, is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And so they're forcing... So it's actually the lab that created them.
This is absolutely the reverse Iron Man.
Yes.
Because Iron Man is trying to show... He makes weapons, and he sells them... to the government, and in this one, the government is the ones that have kind of developed these, and I don't know who they're selling them to.
It's
other
little,
branches of the army.
It's a little murky because the demonstration is taking place at the lab that built them,
uh-huh.
which is not which I don't remember what they're Oracle or Orion or something like that. And anyway, they're not necessarily military yet. They're working with the military. It was weird. Anyway, so they're having this party trying to get investors, and his boss is like, you have to get out there, like you said. And he goes out there, and he's like, yeah, well, my original intention wasn't really for military purposes, and I don't think they should be used this way. I'm like, why are they letting him talk?
Right.
Just let him be in his hole. No one cares.
While they're doing this, like I said, number 5 gets hit by lightning and then gets sentience and then escapes.
Right. And so he ends up falling on top of Ally Sheedy's...
It's like an ice cream van.
Yeah, it's a food truck.
Yeah,
food truck.
To rescue pets.
Well, the truck itself is a food truck, and then she just collects animals.
Which may be why her food truck doesn't do very well.
Maybe. That's a good point. Anyway, so Ally Sheedy ends up with this robot that she doesn't understand and thinks she thinks it's an alien for a while. And then she realizes that it's a robot. And it keeps learning. And you know what? As bad as this movie is... Johnny Five is still adorable. He's a cute robot. He's got they may deny it, but
he's cute. But if you want to see the exact same movie for being cute, you don't have to watch this movie. You can watch what?
You can watch WALL-E.
You can watch WALL-E.
Because and they've said that WALL-E's face was fashioned after binoculars. No. It looked exactly like Johnny Five. And at the beginning of the movie, before he actually starts talking, he just makes like little beep sounds that robots make, and he sounds just like WALL-E. So WALL-E is just a better reimagining of mm-hmm. Short Circuit. But anyway,
but,
so we digress.
Yeah.
So
they have to go find. So Steve Guttenberg's character has to go find the robot.
Find the robot
to reprogram it so that way they don't. Destroy it,
mm-hmm.
and he goes with his lab partner
Ben,
who is the most culturally insensitive character since Mickey Rooney's portrayal of Mr. Uniashi in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
He's pretty bad.
It is Fisher Stevens, Daisy Chain Link number two. Which in the next movie is Link by Fisher Stevens, and he plays a very Indian guy who doesn't know English quite right, and he uses all these English and, you know, American lingo and like sayings, and then changes them because he doesn't understand them, and it's like, that dude's white.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's so bad.
Culturally insensitive and just so bad.
Yeah, it's
really but hey, you know what? Sometimes you make those mistakes and you learn your lesson.
And then you make that the focus of the sequel.
What?
Yes, so Short Circuit 2, which we didn't get to. So
we didn't watch, no.
We did not watch.
I thoroughly disliked Short Circuit enough that I was not going to do the sequel.
So at the end, okay, well, hold on. I'll get there.
Right.
So at the end of Short Circuit, Steve Guttenberg and Ali Sheedy fall for each other, and they save Johnny Five, and they're going to move to a ranch in Montana.
Hey, Johnny Five saves himself.
That's true.
He builds a clone of himself.
for the military to blow up.
Yes.
Yeah, this $6 million piece of equipment, they're just going to blow it up.
No, it was $11 million.
Oh, I'm sorry, $11 million.
Because they thought they lost two, and it was $22 million. Oh, no, it's fine. It's only one. It's $11
million. Okay. So anyway, so at the end of the movie...
I'd like to point out $11 million, $1986.
Right. So a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So Steve Guttenberg and Ali Sheedy take Johnny Five and all of her animals to a ranch in Montana. So cut to the sequel. Steve Guttenberg and Ali Sheedy are not in the sequel. At all. There's a point where Allie is on the phone, so she gets voice credits, but she's not actually in the movie because Johnny Five is sent from the ranch in Montana to help Offensive Ben in New York with his electronics company and then is taken advantage of by low-life scum. So it's a buddy comedy between Johnny Five and Ben.
What year? 1987 or 1988.
Yeah, so they did not learn their lesson.
So
one of the really hard things to get through in this movie is that Johnny keeps stealing vans and driving around.
And keeps throwing out the seat.
So he throws out the seat because he can't sit. His bottom part, like his movement is like a tank.
Yeah, they're treads.
He's got the treads.
Yeah.
He's got two treads. And so he can't sit in a seat, so he gets rid of the seat. But it still doesn't explain how he used pedals.
No, they showed a picture of it. They showed it.
So I wasn't looking.
Yeah, it
was
like a piston that he had, like, that moved. It's
still weird.
It might have been his robot unit.
Okay.
But
well,
I don't know. Like, it didn't explain exactly where it came from. It just was kind of long, and it was metal. And it pushed the pedal.
Okay. Well.
But also, when he sent out that clone robot, they thought, oh, no. And then he pops up from the bottom of the van and reveals that he was hiding the whole time. He's, like, 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom of the van is, like, maybe a foot and a half because you can see it from there. Where were you hiding? Where did you come from? In what space, sir? In what space were you hiding?
So the very top of them seems to be covered by, like, just random... robotic junk.
Uh-huh.
But then it shows, so as that's coming up, you're like, oh, he's under that. But no, he keeps going.
Yeah,
and then you see the road underneath him. You're like, wait, what?
Where are you coming from?
Yeah, so this one was tough to watch.
It was very tough.
And I don't remember the last time I watched this, but I'm pretty sure I know now the last time I will watch this.
Yeah.
Because it was painful. So let's daisy chain on over to our last movie that we watched.
That we watched in this, yeah. Which was 1995's Hackers.
Hackers. So, what's his face?
Johnny Lee Miller.
No.
Oh, Fisher Stevens. Yeah.
Is in this movie.
Correct.
And I want to say that this daisy chain was totally on accident, and it was awesome. But Fisher Stevens is now a high-level hacker who works for a company and is created a, you know, it's another wormhole that steals things.
He's
not as offensive in this movie, but he's just a jerk.
If anyone's ever watched Grandma's Boy, he reminds me of the guy who talked in a robot voice when he was nervous that stole the video game idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of that. He's just this overly pompous guy who knows tech, but he's super awkward.
Mm-hmm. And him and Lorraine Bracco are
who, by the
terrible.
Way, is a terrible actress.
Yeah. Is like, she this bad in everything?
Kinda. She was in Goodfellas. Remember, she was Ray.
Oh, that's right.
And even in that, she was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, isn't she in The Sopranos?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that, but yeah, like, she was terrible.
She was terrible.
Her character serves no purpose throughout the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are scenes in this entire movie that make absolutely no sense.
It seems like they cut their movie and then realize, oh, this isn't long enough to be a movie. We got to add in some scenes. So
it's
yeah.
visually interesting at times. And then other times it's just a fever dream of pop art from clip art.
Yeah. So Johnny Lee Miller, when he was 12.
I did the math on this. Give me a second. He's 18 in 95. It was 88. So he was 11.
He was an 11-year-old hacker who ended up hacking like, 5,702 systems and pretty much crashed banks and caused all kinds of havoc.
I think it was 1,507.
Okay. Anyway, the movie opens with him on trial as an 11-year-old, and his family is sentenced to pay restitutions, and he's not allowed to touch a computer or a touchtone phone until he's 18. So jump to his 18th birthday, and now we're gonna start some stuff. So him and his mom move to the big city,
New York, yeah.
And he meets Angelina Jolie, a very young Angelina Jolie, who is also a hacker, and so they start a hacking battle until they realize that they are embroiled in something more serious.
Yeah, so all these hackers try to outdo each other and be like, oh, I can hack into this. So one of the youngest ones in the group, he decides to break into a computer. It's like, was it Spencer computer? Or it was something with an S. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, and so he breaks into it. What?
No, I thought I had it. I don't.
And he starts downloading a garbage file, which in 95, a garbage file is just miscellaneous stuff, which is literally garbage. Mm-hmm. It's like nothing, no one cares. As it turns out, that's where Fisher Stevens' character, the Plague, was hiding a plan to hiding a worm that was stealing money a la Office Space, where it takes off little chunks of fractions of pennies and stuff from people's transactions. And then once the worm reached the end of its time frame that they gave it, they would be dumped into an account and they'd have like $25 million. This is a big embezzlement scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And so he then creates a virus to pin on the kid that it's called the Da Vinci virus, which is going to topple over 5 oil tankers. Mm-hmm. So it's Exxon Valdez times 5.
Right.
And so they frame the kid who stole the garbage file until they can get the garbage file back, so that way they won't realize that they're actually embezzling $25 million. Very convoluted scheme.
Right. And the technology, like their jargon, makes sense. It's okay. But then the visuals of what they're doing, they make it too visual.
Yeah.
Like they send you into the motherboard of the computer and digitize it. And
Johnny Lee Miller even has it towards the end of the movie when they're doing their big break-in. He's like on his computer and he has like a Google goggle thing.
That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like an old school Google goggle.
Yeah, and he's actually looking at these. It looks like a digital old school city. Mm-hmm. Old school computer graphic of a city. So he's like flying through. It's very Matrix, kind of like he's flying through the Matrix, mm-hmm. and then like finding the building. So all the files are like a level of a building. It's just really weird.
It is. And there's way too many unnecessary Angelina Jolie topless scenes.
Well, there's two.
That's too many.
Yeah. Well, and that one was like his fantasy, and like it literally was just her coming in and unzipping her top to make out with him, and then the cops bust in and break him, then he wakes up. Right. And you're like, it serves no purpose.
Yeah. I think the reason they included it is because later on she has a similar fantasy about him.
In leather?
And I guess that shows that they have a thing for each other.
The other one
wasn't really topless. It was in a montage scene where they're battling each other. They're trying to out-hack each other. And she's just wearing a really see-through shirt as it pans over her.
Oh, no, that's 3. Oh. Okay, so I'll count that one as 3.
But
the other one was when they're all in the room and they just start, her and her boyfriend start going at it.
Yeah, and they don't realize that they're in a room full of hackers. It just doesn't make sense. But this movie was okay. Like, it wasn't great. I would put it 2 after War Games. So I'd say War Games, Hackers,
The Net.
I think The Net and Short Circuit are kind of on the same level for different reasons.
Yeah. I mean, there is good tech stuff. I mean, that's old school. I think Tron holds up.
Mm-hmm. Tron is good.
We watched that fairly recently. The original Tron, it holds up. Yeah. I mean, and it's because it's supposed to be in the game, blah, blah, blah.
Right. And so I think when you take it to a more fantastical location or, you know, storyline, it helps. The problem with the net and hackers is that they're trying to say this is real.
Well, other ones that kind of hold up, I would say, is the Terminator and Terminator 2. Mm-hmm. Terminator 2 is still great.
It still looks great. I mean, not only the technology in it, because that's obviously advanced from where we are now.
Well, the technology, yeah.
But the technology to make the movie looks amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's solid.
Yeah, it's still good. But again, that movie is still, it still looks good, even on the technology of the movie side, because it goes into the future. So the pitfall you get in is when you're talking about current technology.
Right.
So don't make your movie about current technology and you'll be fine.
Well, Back to the Future went into 2015. And, mm-hmm. and so even though it was future, it's now past
now
current.
Past. Oh, my brain hurts.
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, and some movies just are good that way. Like, it's been a while since I've only watched the first Matrix. I didn't watch any of the subsequent sequels.
I loved the first Matrix. I thought it was good. So my problem with the Matrix is my problem with a lot of these trilogy movies is that the first one is groundbreaking and amazing, and then they make 2 and 3 at the same time. And so you don't get that same increase. Like, 2 will be okay, because 2 will have even newer things than 1 did, but then 3 will look exactly the same because they filled them at the same time. I mean, Back to the Future kind of falls into that. You know, 1 was amazing, 2 was awesome, and then 3 was a little lackluster because they made it at the same time as 2, so there was no room to grow.
I tend to disagree on Back to the Future, not because of my affinity for it, but honestly, like, it has no part of that because they're filmed at the same time. But I mean, 1 was going into 2015 and then back to the original movie. The third one takes place in 1885. They actually absolutely look completely different.
Well, not only their look, but I don't know, just like the feel of it. It just feels it feels like an extension of 2 rather than a new movie.
Well, yeah.
And that was one of my biggest problems with The Matrix, is that the third one I absolutely hated anyway. Actually, no. The second one I hated. The third one was fine, but I didn't really care for it. But the first one is really good. If you never see the sequels, it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one.
Yeah, you're fine.
But that one, does that one hold up? I can't really think of it right now.
Yeah, pretty well. I think, again, because it's such a fantastical use of technology that it's a little more digestible.
Well, it's also, isn't that one like, it's 19 years old now.
It came out in like 98 or something.
I thought it was
99. Oh, yeah, I guess it would be 99. I think I haven't really seen it all that recently, but recently enough to where it still holds up. It's still all right.
One of the better Keanu Reeves vehicles?
Oh, well, if he hadn't done this movie, I think his career may have been over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this really catapulted him back into...
Which is sad, because he seems like a really great guy, I've heard.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, yeah.
So it isn't like he did anything for his career to be over. Like, you know, he didn't Weinstein it up. It's just,
no.
You know, it's just... He wasn't really landed any roles that were, you know...
I think it let him be seen in a new light. Because before this, I mean, he was in Bill and Ted. Like, he wasn't really doing all that great. And then he did Speed, which kind of helped. But I think...
And Point Break.
Yeah, but he was still, I don't know. I think this kind of opened it up
it
to where...
It reinvigorated his career.
Oh, he can
sort
do...
of the way Pulp Fiction did for John Travolta.
Yeah.
Like, John Travolta was working steadily, but he wasn't like... His star was kind of starting to fade, mm-hmm. and then Pulp Fiction just re-shined it.
Yeah, I would say that was The Matrix for him.
Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much the end of the show.
Yeah.
So we got through it.
We did.
So
we'll have to do something nicer for next week.
So before we go, is there more things that we're on? Because we're on like iTunes and Spotify. We always
we're on
people.
iTunes and Spotify. We are also on Google Podcasts. So Google has its own kind of podcast app, and you can download that, and we are there.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're all over the place.
So we're all over the place.
Yeah, and don't forget to check us out at gomezcast.com. And check out where Walby is.
Yes.
Where will Walby be this week?
Do you have a plan for this one?
I think I have a plan. But it'll be a surprise.
Oh, looking forward to it. So that is our show. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.